together, and we're good to go. You got yourself a nice tasty brew.
Yes, I do. I'm still good.
When we're in horror movies and we got to prepare to get into dark territory, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But,
this is just something that doesn't hit home, but it's something that everybody can relate to and has an opinion of.
It's yeah, you should. So, hey guys, this is a Scary Dad Podcast meta episode. This will be episode 21.5. So, episode 21 already came out, and episode 22 comes out on Monday. The meta episodes are whenever we do our best we can to do kind of a short little meet and greet and talk about some topical information, some things that have come up. So we were show prepping for episode 22, and Scott sent me an email. So take it away, Scott. What are we talking about tonight?
Okay. I've been pretty excited lately about Jeepers Creepers 3 coming out because I really enjoy the franchise. I love the story. The first Jeepers Creepers was a great movie, very suspenseful. It introduced you to all the characters and everything. Second one went a little bit further into the background of the creeper himself, you know, the main antagonist of the stories. And then I heard about Jeepers Creepers 3 was coming out that was bringing back the first one, the sister, who now has a son named Darian after her brother who died at the hands of the creeper. And it's about her, you know, starting to have nightmares about him coming back after her son. And, you know, it sounded like it was going to be a great movie. I love Jeepers Creepers. And then I noticed this article about a boycott currently going on Jeepers Creepers 3 while it's still filming. And they haven't even finished filming yet. So I decided to look a little bit deeper into it. And Victor Salva, who was the director of the first two also, is directing the third one. Apparently, I didn't even know about this. I didn't realize it was the same person. I actually heard about it when Powder was being made. But Victor Salva also made Powder. And before Powder, when he was making it in 1995, he was convicted of... he had another horror movie back then, which was entitled...
Clown House,
which I've never seen before. I've heard of, but I've never seen it before. On set of that movie, he molested a child, filmed it, had a copy of it, and also was in possession of child pornography, commercial child pornography on his computer and stuff. Shocking as hell, you know, something that repulsed anybody. I got two kids, that kind of stuff. I can't stand hearing about it. I got a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, that used to prosecute child crimes. And, you know, to me, that's one of the worst crimes you can commit. You know, to me, it's above some murders. You know, some people deserve to die. I'm sorry, but... So he was tried, convicted. He was convicted and sentenced to 3 years. He served 15 months of that before he got released on probation. And then served probation until 1992. And then he got a job as a telemarketer. And he worked at that for a while, kept very low. Popped up again and made one movie in 95, then he made Powder right after that. And that's when they had the first boycott. He's made several movies since then, not including the first two Jeepers Creepers. He also made a movie called Rite of Passage, Peaceful Warrior in 2006, Rosewood Lane in 2011, Dark House in 2014, and probably direct-to-DVD, The Old Hag Syndrome in 2016. And now people are saying with Jeepers Creepers 3 in production, they want to boycott the movie and get everybody to stop. And I just thought we could touch on it a little bit and, you know, just throw it out there for our fans. I'm curious to see some opinions on it, see where everybody stands on whether or not this film should be boycotted and they should, you know, fire him and find a new director, even though he already directed the first two.
All right.
Just kind of a quick rundown of what happened exactly.
Well, I've got opinions on them, on the whole thing. Don't know. I needed to grab something off my phone real quick to make make sure my reference was correct. But like you said in the intro there, I've got two very small children. I've got, you know, obviously I got two sisters. This whole the pedophilia to me is one of those things that is it's unforgivable, to an extent unforgettable. You can't ever put that behind you. I mean, talk about things like the Scarlet Letter. Like I think there are certain crimes that if you aren't Well, let me rewind. I believe that there are certain crimes that should just be an instant end, whether that's the death penalty, whether that is a castration, whether that is a crippling of some sort. And I know that that comes off as harsh. I don't think that I ever really thought that way before until I had small children.
Right.
And there's an innocence there that is unfathomable, you know, and you look at your child and they're you know, they're crawling or playing, they're depending on you for everything, and there's this groundswell of both love and fear of just, am I worthy to be their protector and their guide through this crazy ass world? And if anything was to ever happen to them, if there was ever a hair on their head that was even tussled incorrectly, I would fucking end you, and I would not apologize for it. I wouldn't feel bad. No remorse.
Right.
So there is that entire part of it. And not to sound like a flip-flop, but, you know, our society used to be made like that. We used to cull those creatures from our ranks.
Right.
Now, was the world better for it? I don't know. I live in the world that we live in. And unfortunately, the world that we live in has a system of laws. There's a cause and effect. If you do this, then you do that. And while I'm all for the guy, you know, being set on fire on the day of his conviction, what his punishment was what he was given. He did his time.
Right. It's a system that we accept.
It's a system that we live in, and whether you like it or not, it's how it is. And that said, I've never been one for that whole, like, ex-con stigma of, like, you know, you're caught, you're arrested, you pay your fine, you do your time, you pay back your quote-unquote debt to society, whatever the fuck that means. Oh, yeah, and also, you carry this scarlet letter around with you all the time that says you robbed a store or stole a car, and so now you can't get a job. So you're never able to function back in society.
It's a cycle, and you end up repeating what you did before.
So
oftentimes,
I'm of the opinion that if the state comes out and says you need to do 500 fucking push-ups and he did 501, he should be allowed to work. I mean, I don't want them around my kids.
Right.
But I can't in good conscience say, oh, he should be further stigmatized because, you know, what else do you want him to do?
Right.
And by making movies or checking groceries at the grocery store, you know, you kind of almost want him out in public so he's got eyes on him. You know, so he's not getting a job as a teacher somewhere.
Well, the movie studio knew his past. They chose to hire him.
Right.
You know, and on what you said, just to extend a little further, I remember his name slips me right now, but you can find the YouTube videos of this incident that occurred and videos elsewhere. There was this dad back in early 80s in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, whose son was molested by his baseball coach while on a road game out of town. What this man chose to do is, the guy had to be extradited. He was arrested out of state. He went ahead and hung out at the airport, and he waited by the phone booth. And whenever the guy came in, he shot him in the head and killed him and put the gun down and let the cops arrest him and chose to, you know, accept the fact that he killed somebody. Now, he had to go ahead and do his time, and that's the way I look at it. I mean, somebody hurts one of my kids, I could definitely see myself killing them, but at the same time, I got to accept the fact that I'm going to be punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
If I choose not to do anything and allow them to go through the criminal justice system, I
have
pretty
to
much
accept
the fact, accept whatever he ends up with, you know. And it's just the way it is. It's a civilized society, you know, sometimes to a fault, but that's just the way it is. That's the way things go.
Right, and like I said, that's just one of those things, and the word artist gets thrown around to where especially now with the internet, it almost has no meaning. Because pretty much you can film yourself taking a dump and call it art, and there's going to be somebody that's going to agree with you.
Right.
That being said, throughout history, there's lots of great artists that were also very damaged and troubled human beings, that perhaps without that outlet, without that ability to function in society and make money to where they could, you know, I don't know how much this guy makes. I mean, I'm sure he makes a lot more than I do, you know, but, you know, his ability, like, this guy is good at making movies. He's made good movies.
Right.
Like I said before, I would almost rather him be in the spotlight, you know, out in public and around people with giant freaking spotlights on him, you know, aware of where he's at and what he's doing, more so than boycotting, putting him out of a job, and making him, you know, work in a movie theater.
Not just him out of a job. I mean, you're looking at an entire...
Well, they would always get another director.
Yeah.
So there's not that. But I'm thinking, okay, are you familiar with Allen Ginsberg?
Yeah.
You know Allen Ginsberg. Mm-hmm. Beat Poetry. So for those of you who are not familiar with Allen Ginsberg, he was a contemporary of Jack Kerouac. And if you're not familiar with Jack Kerouac, Jack Kerouac was the guy who, back in the 50s, it was kind of a post-war... It was a strange time in America because all of these vets were coming back from Germany and Japan. They were severe alcoholics dealing with all of the trauma that they had dealt with abroad. And then you had like the younger generation that was too young to go to war, but they were just it was a complete cultural shift in the United States at this point. Jack Kerouac wrote On the Road, which is the anthem for the beat poets. The beats were essentially the predecessors of the hippies. They wrote poetry, they smoked pot, they drank alcohol, they didn't go to school and get real jobs, and Allen Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac were two of the primary guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever seen a caricature of a character beating a bongo drum wearing a beret, that's the beat poets from the 50s. Allen Ginsberg was one of the main guys, and he was a poet. And he is regarded as a great artist. And he was also a pedophile, and he was an affiliated member of NAMBLA, which was the North American Man-Boy Love Association.
Yeah.
Back then, these sorts of things were not quite as they weren't looked nicely upon. But you got into some legal mumbo jumbo, and kids were considered adults at much younger ages, and
that kind of stuff was kind of kept a lot more hush-hush back then, too.
It was quiet, but it was also there.
Yep.
I mean, you're not a charter member of an association without having other members,
yep,
and chapters around. So this was not just a single pedophile. This was a child porn ring back whenever they didn't really have child porn. I don't know what they did, and I don't even want to fathom to think about it. But that this guy can be considered a great artist and a vital artist in a movement that literally changed the face of American art and literature. Nobody ever talks about that, but it happened, and it's true.
Right.
He was not convicted and tried and given some community service to do. He was active pretty much the whole time. So,
well, another good example.
I've never been a fan of Allen Ginsberg. I'm simply aware of Allen Ginsberg, but I don't know. Pretty much, if you've listened to a band from the '60s, they were influenced by Allen Ginsberg's poem Howl and some other writings. Jack Kerouac hung out with them, and he was cool with it. So many of those writers, they were quite fully aware of what was going on. And you have an entire cultural movement based on the brain farts of a few guys who were cultural degenerates. And this is not a, you know, I'm not a conservative old fart that's talking about the death of America. I'm talking about it's modern shit. I mean, they're not from that long ago. The world simply changed its views on certain things.
Right.
And in my opinion, for the better. Fuck those guys. But that said, it doesn't take away from his body of work, from right. his art.
Well, another great example.
From his influence.
Another great example of that is Roman Polanski. He was never convicted, never tried, just skipped the country. And he's made some movies that I can promise
he's
you.
He's still stigmatized, but not as bad because it was a girl.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, so it was heterosexual pedophilia rather than homosexual pedophilia. So
right.
that somehow makes it not okay, but okayer than the other. Because I think Natasha Kinski was like 13 or 14.
13, if I'm not mistaken.
So,
when we look at some of the movies he's made, I can promise you, a lot of these people involved in this current boycott right here I've seen and never had a problem with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what you were saying before, is he's made Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2, and there weren't any boycotts.
Right.
He's made other movies. There's not boycotts. You can't be selective in your rage. If you're going to state something as truth, you have to universalize it. It has to be true all the time. You can't give somebody a pass because you happen to like them, or you happen to like that song instead, or that movie.
Right.
You know, a spade is a spade all the way down the line. It has to be,
yeah,
or
be
else
consistent
you're a hypocrite.
With your judgment.
Or else you're a hypocrite, right? So this is a deep episode. I mean, we'll probably get some.
It was
really
crazy.
On that.
He was charged. I think it was 7 counts altogether, 5 or 7 counts altogether, because he also was in possession of child pornography, and it was commercial child pornography. So well, it was.
He was selling it.
Yeah, it definitely. And the boy who was involved, he's gone public, so you can say his name. His name is Nathan Winters. He's actually in the movie Clown House. So he was directing him, and if Clown House is out there, you can watch the movie. And I don't think I'll ever watch it just because of the fact, you know, you're looking at a kid that was being molested during filming this movie. That's creepy as hell, man.
Well, and you know, I think that as bad as it sounds, he's one of the unlucky ones that got caught. Because if you were to listen to Corey Feldman,
oh, yeah, it's bad.
And Elijah Wood, it's really bad.
It's rampant.
And, you know, there's a lot of hush money paid. There's a lot of secret circles. And
we got these people that want to be successful to the extent where they allow bad things to happen to them.
Right. You know, who are you going to cross? And then, you know, as bad as it sounds, you know, even sometimes it's probably like hush-hush, like mob money and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Which... You know, I wonder sometimes, after I read that about Corey Feldman, it doesn't make the things that he's actually done publicly any less strange, I guess, because he's done some strange stuff, and we've talked about it before, where he's done stuff that it's not really particularly strange. It's simply strange in context.
Mm-hmm.
So like a guy being excited about his band and wanting to play for you is not strange. It's only strange in context if they brought you on here to talk about your movie, like, and you're talking about your band.
Right.
Like that's a little strange. It's out of context. But I wonder sometimes if his career trajectory, because he was outspoken about that, because he's never backed down, he's never recanted, he's never backtracked. I think he's been like, oh yeah, that shit goes on all the time, and all of a sudden all the producers who like to diddle little
they
boys are like
him.
I'm not gonna hire
yeah.
that guy, you know.
And I can promise you it does have an effect.
You know, for certain.
Yeah, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, so, you know, some Hollywood folks come out as conservative, and next thing you know, they're blackballed.
Well, and that's one of those things too. And we don't talk about politics here, but let's just briefly, you know, touch the logic side of political stuff. Okay, so if you are in a pay grade that puts you in that 1%, and you're protesting that 1%, you're protesting yourself. Like, all of these guys have accountants, they have lawyers, they have tax shelters, they're buying properties in, like, Mississippi because, you know, they can buy big properties. Yeah. And they're hiding their money, just like the big bad guys that they're fighting, you know, that they're speaking out against. A lot of them would probably be happy with a lower tax rate on their own condo in Malibu, but they have to stay in town to work.
Yep.
But they can't publicly speak out about high tax rates because if they get tagged Republican, then they lose it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the record, guys, if you're wondering, I am no Republican. Like, I'm not a Republican, not a conservative, not a Democrat, not a liberal. I'm full-on fucking anarchist. If you really want to put a pen to paper, I will sign that sheet. I think it's all fucking evil, and it all needs to go away. But that said, as a centrist that sees the bullshit on both sides,
right?
Hypocrisy comes in a lot of forms, and speaking out about something that you're actively doing is pretty hypocritical.
Oh yeah, so. Believe me. You know, I worked in the oil and gas industry for a very, very long time, and some of the people that would complain about, you know, I worked for Halliburton, which was, you know, I worked for Halliburton for almost 20 years, which was the most evil company in the world at one time. And some of the hate that I would get, you know, just for a brief period, they had us take our badges off before we'd go to lunch because they didn't want anybody seeing that we worked for Halliburton because it was that bad out there. Mm-hmm. And I would see these people, and they were just so, I'm not going to call them hypocrites, but so uneducated towards the topic that they were using all these items that were products of petroleum. And they didn't even realize it. And they're just going nuts. And, you know, when you look at, you know, it's okay for Starbucks to make 80% profit on their coffee, but the oil company's making 15% profit on, you know, their gas. It's a horrible, evil thing.
It's because $8 billion is a lot of money, and they want to see that spread around. They don't care what the margin is.
Yeah, they don't look at that. They don't look at the profit margin side of it.
So, and before we go even further down that rabbit hole, I mean, like I said, if you didn't boycott Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2, and hey, if you're one of those people who did, I'm right there with you.
What do you think?
I mean, like I said, I'm not on the fence. I'm not on one side or the other. You know, take it away from pedophilia. This guy raped that girl. Cool. Castrate him. Fucking blind him. Then let him go and see what he can do. He can't look at pretty women anymore, and he can't do it. You know, like, his balls are gone.
Yeah.
So, what happens next? Well, that's an extreme punishment. Okay, well, I put in my 2 cents. If you say he only gets 3 years probation, I have to live with that. I just have to deal with it. And then once he's done, and whatever else he does,
we've accepted that as our law.
That's what our law is. So, I don't know. You got any final thoughts as we hit the coming up on the?
Pretty much, I'm right there with you. Of course, you know it. I plan on seeing the movie. You know, I will be, because I love the Jeepers Creepers franchise. You know it. That's just me, though. If anybody chooses to do different, that's your thing. That's your bag. Go for it. When it comes to boycotts are so annoying to me. Joe Rogan does an excellent bit about boycotts and just how stupid they are. Because most of the people that are boycotting, they're not educated. They're not educated with what they're boycotting. They don't understand how it truly works.
I agree. I do believe in voting with your dollar.
Yeah.
So, and what that means is, and to go to a completely different subject, for example, I don't drink soft drinks, right? I used to drink a lot of soft drinks. I don't drink soft drinks anymore. At some point, soft drinks started giving me, like, Skittles mouth. It's like it would congeal my spit, and it was not pleasurable
to
drink soft drinks. So I moved to diet drinks. Diet drinks have this kind of weird, like, this is really bad for you flavor.
Yeah, it's a fake taste.
I got rid of soft drinks while I was still smoking cigarettes, like 2-3 packs a day. I didn't ever feel or taste that in the cigarettes, but I could taste it in the soft drinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, I guess, Pepsi came out with their throwback, where it was like, oh, this is made from sugar instead of corn syrup.
Right.
Then I realized that the sugar didn't give me that fucked up, weird mouth feeling. Okay, so cool. If I buy anything, well, at the end of it, I won't buy anything that is flavored with corn syrup.
See, that's my thing. I avoid corn syrup.
And it's not a moral choice. I'm not saying, it's not like, oh, you should avoid gluten. Like, I can't handle it. So I buy more stuff made with sugar, hopefully that the market will shift to more stuff made with sugar.
Right.
I'm not going to boycott corn syrup. It's impossible.
It's everywhere.
They don't care. But if enough of us, instead of sitting there saying that the corn syrup companies are evil, let's boycott them.
Move over.
They won't do anything. If you just quietly move to a different product, they'll start being like, wow, we stocked 10 on the shelf, 10 are gone, let's stock 20. Okay, now 12 are gone. What are we doing?
Right.
And they'll start making alternatives.
Yeah, and until that happens, there's nothing you can do.
When it comes to movies, entertainment is so convoluted now. You can boycott Jeepers Creepers, and you're not going to hurt that guy, but you might hurt the acreage in Louisiana where they shoot it.
Yeah.
Because if the movie doesn't do well, that guy doesn't get paid, and he ends up having to put it on the market. But, you know, Victor Salvo will still go home with his paycheck.
He's still going to have money, that's right.
So, you know, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. Everything's so touched. It's so interconnected.
You got to think about where you project your energies for stuff like that. You know, that sometimes it's futile efforts. You know, remember there was an email used to always go around about boycotting gas and taking a day where nobody buys any gas. And I used to always bring up, you're going to fill up the day before or you're going to fill up the day after.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still going to spend the same amount of money.
Yep.
It's not going to make a bit of difference.
And nobody ever realizes that the gas that you're not buying on that day is already bought.
Yeah.
Because the convenience store owners buy the gas by the load. And so what happens is they've got their tanks under the ground. And once it hits a certain button, like a certain level, it triggers something inside the store that says you need to buy gas.
Yeah.
This is the modern gas tank under the ground. This is not sci-fi. Once it hits a certain level, just like in your car, the little ball goes down below a certain line and the light goes on inside.
Notification goes.
And they say, I need to buy a load. They push the button. You know, they call the gas company and the truck comes and they deliver exactly what was bought and maybe a little more, a little less, depending on the sales trend.
Yeah.
If you don't buy gas that day, all it does is put off their load for the next day.
Yeah. And if you choose to boycott specific companies, I can promise you, if you go sit out at any intersection in the morning when gas is being delivered, you'll see the same truck stop at this gas station, and the other. It's coming from a central refinery. And each gas company has a certain blend that they pay these refineries to make for them. And a lot of times, you know, as long as it's staying within the limits of the regulations of the state or area that you're in, it's the same gas at every gas station you go to.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't make a bit of difference. Just the way things are. That's why, you know, people complain about gas prices a lot, but what you going to do? You know, Patrice O'Neill brought it up one time. If the bread man was to decide to go ahead and raise every loaf of bread by a dollar, you're still going to buy it. Because you can't make sandwiches for your kids with no bread.
Yeah, that's the truth. At the same time, get this. So, they make cars more efficient. They make tires better. The president a few years ago was like, oh, you want to save some gas? Air up your tires, right? Remember whenever we were in the gas crisis. So cars are so efficient now, and they're so sippy on gas, that the government, especially state governments, are flipping out because they're not getting the amount of gas tax because you're not turning over your tanks as often. Yep. So now they're going to start taxing you by the mile.
Yeah. So
go buy your Prius. You're still going to pay the same amount because
the tax revenue. They can't do without it. That's why I've always said, you know, the government doesn't want you to quit smoking cigarettes.
Oh,
they would go broke. they want you to smoke cigarettes so they can get that tax revenue.
Yep.
You know, it's just the way, it's the nature of the beast. Raise the
taxes. That said, man, we're right at a meta episode. The first proper one that I think we've ever done. I have to take a leak so bad, it's not even fun.
Okay, we can go ahead and shut this down here.
We're going to shut it down. Hey, guys, agree with us, disagree with us. I don't know how you could disagree with us because we hit pretty much every positive and negative point. But you can throw those down on there.
Let us know. We'd love to continue the debate, whether it be about the Jeepers Creepers 3 controversy or oil and gas prices. Just let us know.
Hit us up.
Bye.
The weatherman says, when the weatherman says it's raining, you'll never hear me complaining. I'm certain the sun will shine.
I don't care how the weather vane points, when the weather vane points to gloomy, it's gotta be sunny to me when your eyes look into mine.
Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those creepers? Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those eyes?
Gosh, y'all get up, how'd they get so lit up? Gosh, y'all get up, how'd they get that size?
Golly gee,
when you turn those heaters on,
woe is me.
Got to put my cheaters on.
Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those creepers?
Oh, those weepers,
how they hypnotize.
Yeah.
Where'd you get those eyes? La-la-la-la-la-la-la. Them there are.
Put my cheetahs on.
Weepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers?
Oh, those weepers,
how they hypnotize.
Knock me out.
Where'd you get those eyes?
Where'd you get them?
Won't you put me wise?
Don't you die, man.
Pay to advertise.
Tell them, doctor.
Where did you get those eyes?